Oh Lord, how Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, for he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the earth. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The King of glory is his name. The King of glory, his title of fame. The King of glory, he ransomed me. The King of glory, his face I'll see. The King of glory, the sinner's friend. The King of glory is coming again. Coming again, coming again. The King of glory is coming again. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not in the experimental stage. It's been tried and proven. Amen. It is not the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year or the book of the decade or the book of the century or the book of the millennium. It's the book of the ages. Amen. This is God's holy word. Yes. And I'm glad tonight that here's a church in the capital city that stands for the truth and preaches and teaches the King James Version. Amen. I believe this is God's word. We're not looking for anything better or more. We already have the best. So let's stay with it. I love your singing. I love your church. I love your pastor. I'll tell you, you don't ever take your pastor and his wife for granted. They're God's gift to this church. And your staff. Listen, folks, no church is going to grow or develop or reach the community or do what it ought to do if it doesn't have the right staff. And the right kind of staff, dedicated, committed people, and you have them. And since I'm going to live to be 112, I suppose I'll be in the ministry a long time yet, so I'm signing up some of your singers, don't tell the pastor I said this, to travel with me. And Pastor Robbie, I'm depending on you to help me with that. The ones you want to get rid of, I'll take. Just joking, but it's a joy to be back in the Capital City Baptist Church. I love this place. We tell people all over America, this is the most exciting church that we visit, and I mean that sincerely. And God's blessings have been upon you these days. From the very first time that we were privileged to be here, right until this very moment, I regret that I was not able to be here last year. I'm looking forward to next year, my friend. Write that down. Help me out, Robbie. But you know, I'm not taking that for granted. I think it's a great privilege to be here, and I'm glad that I can be a part of your service today. I love you, and I praise God for what God's going to do in the days to come. It's not all over. If Jesus tarries his coming, some wonderful things are in store for Capital City Baptist Church. More blessings, more souls, more people, more monies to send missionaries around the world. And we've bragged on your mission program to the very ends of this country, all the way across. We've told people what God has done through your mission program, and we praise the Lord for that. And I have a lot of other things to say, but I've used enough runway. You know what I mean. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. I want to see what God's thinking about tonight in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. As you're finding your place in the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, I should remind you again that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, is settled right here. This wonderful book, inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I begin reading at verse number 9, I shall read down through verse number 13. I'll read these verses after we pause in a moment of prayer, and I trust that you'll pray with me, please. And now, Heavenly Father, with our Bibles open, we're so thankful for the book that we call the Bible. We thank you for those almost 70 million martyrs that gave their lives to preserve this book and to bring it to us, bound up in the leather and in our own language, where we can read it and heed it and hide it and hold it forth to a gainsaying world. Now I pray that you would give us permission to read it. It is so holy. Bring conviction to sinners. Bring conviction to the saints, the parents here tonight, these precious little children that decorate the front seats and all through the congregation. May we realize that that's our treasure. That's hope for tomorrow. And I pray that every parent would be awakened tonight to see what it's all about, building into their children the character that you want them to have. Bless every person here tonight. May no one go away unmoved, unchanged. Their burdens, their heartaches, their problems, their difficulties. People are facing trials and troubles and tribulations and temptations and all kinds of difficulties, but none too hard for thee, for thou art God, and beside thee there is none other. May these things be done in accord with thy will, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 at verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which ye have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. A builder builded a temple. He wrought it with grace and skill, pillars and groins and arches, all fashioned to work his will. Men said as they saw its beauty, it shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder. Thy fame shall endure for aye. A teacher builded a temple with loving and infinite care, planning each arch with patience, laying each stone with prayer. None praised her unceasing efforts. None knew of her wondrous plan. For the temple which the teacher builded was unseen by the eyes of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled into the dust. Low lies each stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the teacher builded will last while ages roll, for that beautiful unseen temple is a child's immortal soul. You know, I'm thrilled when I see these youngsters sitting down here on the front seat, all dressed up, their Bibles open. That's great teaching. That's great training. And parents, I have a word for you tonight. I believe that parents ought to take every caution they can to bring their children in the fear and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't know who wrote this poem that I just read you, but I believe it should be written in letters of gold on the walls of every Sunday school classroom in America. Better still, I believe it should be written in the heart of every teacher, every preacher, every parent, and every grandparent. And God bless you grandparents who have taken for the second time a family to rear because nobody else perhaps wanted them. They had no one else to whom they could turn, and you took them into your heart and into your home. God bless you grandparents for that. May I admonish the parents here tonight, teach your children, train them, tutor them, tell them the stories of the Bible. Lead them to the cross. Tell them about Christ the Savior. Set the right example before them in your own life. I know some parents will say, well, we will not influence our children in making choices about religion. Well, if that's your mindset, I want to ask you a question. Why not? The newspapers will, the media will, television will, radio will, politicians will, the neighbors will, their peers will. Some say, well, I just want to have some good psychology book, maybe like Dr. Spock or Dear Abby. Well, let me help you a little bit. I find Spock spooky and Abby kooky. Could I tell you that most of the modern psychology books are leading people away from the Word of God and the principles of the Bible? Could I tell you, my friend, that the Bible is the best manual on this planet for rearing children? Go into the book of Proverbs, parents. Spend a while there. Read a chapter a day. Read it to your children. Spend some time at chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Listen, this is God's psychology book, And you can't improve on that. Someone said the Bible is not one holy book among many holy books, but the Bible is the one and only holy book. Don't equate the Quran with the Bible. They are not the same. They are not leading in the same direction. They are not written by the same author. They are not inspired by the same spirit. Stay with the Bible. Be cautious and careful what you say and do before your children, and lead them, I pray again, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you'd lead them in the right way. Spend some time with Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, where he said, Fathers, don't make your children angry, but bring them up in the fear, in the nurture, and in the admonition of the Lord. And by the way, parents, don't expect your children to come out smelling like roses if you're eating onions and garlic. Just doesn't work. And by the way, too, if you want to know what your children are going to be like 15, 20, 25 years from now, take a long and lasting look at yourself. Your habits, your character traits, your actions, your reactions, your conversations. The people with whom you associate, the places you go, the things you do. Because I read in Ezekiel 16:44, as is mother, so is the daughter. And as is the father, of course, so is the son. Every preacher, I believe, and every teacher would do well to use the words of the Apostle Paul in verses 9 and 10 that I just read as a blueprint for every lesson and every message taught and preached. Why do I say that? Stay tuned. You'll find out. I say that primarily because we are building for eternity. Not time, eternity. Listen again to what Paul said in verse 9. For we are laborers with God. Can you imagine that? We are laborers with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. Be careful. Are you looking for an all-purpose handbook? You already have it in your hand, the book, God's book. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, over 34,000 verses, more than 700,000 words, all of which are inspired of the Holy Spirit. Folks, I believe we take the Word of God too much for granted. We don't read it like we read a newspaper or like we read a novel. We read it like it is God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. I tell you, the only book on earth, my friend, that can tell you who you are, where you came from, how you got here, why you're here, where you're going, and how you're going to get there. That's the Bible. That's God's Word. Now, that's my introduction, and I'm ready to start preaching. I'm entitling this message, and I hope you'll get this. This is important. Building for eternity. I submit to you in the first place, because we're building for eternity, we must lay the proper foundation. No building, you know this, no building is any stronger than its foundation. Most people know that the Empire State Building rises 105 stories above the ground. Not many people know that it goes 5 stories below the ground. Listen again to Paul's words in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. And God wrote the book. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. The greatest story of foundation building ever told is told by the master storyteller himself, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you before I read it to you, you will not find anything like this in the work of Socrates or Aristotle or Plato or Shakespeare or Shelley or Keats or Byron or Rockefeller or Longfellow or any other fella. You'll find it only from the lips of the Savior. And here is what Jesus said, and it's recorded in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Please don't miss a word of it. Jesus said, I'm quoting Jesus. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Founded upon a rock. By the way, if you build upon a rock, you'll feel no shock. I continue Jesus' narrative. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I warn you, please don't miss this. The foundation of sand will not withstand the storms of life that you're going to encounter on your journey to eternity. May I get personal? What kind of foundation is your life built upon? Sands of pleasure, fortune, fame, education, science, philosophy? These are wood, hay, and stubble. They will not stand. And I'm bold enough to tell you, my friend, that the only sure foundation is the solid rock, amen. Jesus Christ. Yes. Other foundation, Paul said, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. It was the shamrock season in Ireland. The old country preacher was standing on the street corner preaching on the Rock of Ages. He was telling about how strong, how steadfast, how sure the Rock of Ages was. Across the street was a heckler who said to him, "Hey, preacher man, you're talking about the Rock of Ages. Let me ask you, what do you know about the shamrock?" The old man just ignored him and went right on preaching. Second time, "Hey, preacher man, I ask you, what do you know about the shamrock?" Old preacher, unperturbed, just went right on preaching. Third time, "Hey, preacher man, I ask you, what do you know about the shamrock?" The old preacher stopped his preaching, stood up tall, threw back his shoulders, lifted up his voice, and said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the rocks are sham rocks." Look over the horizon, my friend. The storm clouds are coming. You best have the anchor that will hold. And I hasten to tell you, the only anchor that's going to hold is the Rock of Ages. Augustus Toplady put it this way, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no languor know? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I shall rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Build on the proper foundation. Number two, I just have 33 of these, so just kidding. I learned a long time ago, if you can't strike oil in 30 minutes, you ought to stop boring. Because, number two, we are building for eternity, we must use the right kind of materials. You know, sometimes a builder will build a house with inferior materials, and you know the consequences. Sagging ceiling, cracked walls, bulking floors. But my friend, we must build with our proper materials. May I say a word to you, dear young people that are here tonight? As you are choosing a hero, don't look toward Hollywood. Don't go for a rock star. Don't go for a sports icon. Listen, there are enough godly men and women in this congregation tonight to whom you could look and who could be your hero, and you could put your faith in that person and let them set a good example for you and not one of these worldly ideas. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember, says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Arise, O youth of God, be done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. If you'll use these materials that I'm going to recommend to you, I think you'll discover that they'll build the right kind of life. And by the way, all of these materials are guaranteed by the manufacturer to outlast time and to endure for eternity. I'm going to recommend that you begin with the brick of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. J. Vernon McGee, a great radio preacher of yesteryear, said about the Bible, know it in your head, stow it in your heart, show it in your life, and sow it in the world. About 65 years ago, my wife and I, and that was before we were married, she chased me for a couple of years and finally caught me. But about 65 years ago, sitting in a classroom in the Bible Baptist Seminary in downtown Fort Worth, Texas, I heard J. Frank Norris say, I have here a book, the only book, God's book. Stand on it, young men, and challenge the world. You know, we need some more teaching like that tonight. I praise God for your Bible school and the students that are coming up through here that are getting the same kind of stuff that I got 65 years ago. I can tell by the atmosphere. It's the same, and I praise God for it. Now, within this ample volume lies the mystery of mystery. Happy is they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born than read to doubt or read to scorn. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Thank God for Bible reading mothers. Lay the magazines aside for a while and the novels. Hello, help me out. They left me up here. You see, they left me right by myself, folks. I need a little help now. Come on. Cling to the Bible. Even if the president makes fun of people who cling to the Bible and their guns, keep on clinging to both of them. I know you need the Bible tonight, and tomorrow you may need the gun. And I'm not trying to promote violence. Please don't misunderstand me. I am a very non-violent person. But I'm telling you, we have to be ready for what's going to happen in our world. Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus. I love to quote Jesus. He said so in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part. Now that you have the brick that you're building with of the Word of God, you need some mortar. I recommend the mortar of dedication. I give you Paul's word in Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My friend, could I tell you that the most important thing in your life, and young men, this is true, young ladies, this is true, mother and daddy, the most important thing in your life is the accomplishment of God's will. Yes. Nothing ranks higher in your life as a Christian than doing God's will. Not just knowing it, but doing it. As we move on from the brick and the mortar, we go to the plaster of prayer. Jesus said in, here I go quoting Jesus again already. He said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. James wrote in chapter 5 at verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And can I tell you, members here of Capital City Baptist Church, if there's going to be power in this pulpit, there must be praying in those pews. Because praying pews and powerful pulpits make perfect partners. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. There's something else you're going to need. And that's a hammer of hope. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 2. At verse 11, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. He went away, but not to stay. And you know what I read in Hebrews 9:28? Unto them that look for him. Did you get that? Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, that is, without a sin offering, unto salvation. What are you looking for tonight? With the hammer of hope, you need some nails of faith. Jesus, here I go. I'm quoting Jesus again already. He said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Just four words. But look whose lips they fell from. Look at the object of the faith. Have faith in God. Now your faith in the government, in the bank, in the CDs, in the annuity funds and retirement funds, all that's good. But you've got to have faith in God. Faith in God. Someone asked Dr. Lee Robinson at the close of his life, and he died at 97. Dr. Robinson, if you had your life to go over and your ministry to do again, what would you do different? He said, I would have more faith. Wow. What a man of faith he was. We know that. He said, I would have more faith. Faith is the eye that sees the invisible. Faith is the ear that hears the inaudible. And faith is the hand that touches the intangible. Have faith in God. Then you need the measuring stick of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, now I know in part. Then I shall know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. I'm going to quote the greatest authority who ever lived. You already know who it is. His name is Jesus. And make no mistake about it, I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you go to church on Sunday night." No, that's not what he said. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you go to church on Wednesday night." No, that's not what he said. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you bring your tithes and offerings." I think maybe he might. No, he didn't. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." Wow. Beyond that, whatever type of materials or tools that you have, you can't do anything without a power source. And your power source is the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to quote God. I love to quote God too. He said in Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." I can assure you, my friend, if you build your life, listen now, using these time-honored, Bible-based, God-blessed materials, you will have peace in a time of war. You'll have comfort in the time of sorrow. You will have hope in the time of despair. You will have strength in the time of weakness. You will have light in the time of darkness. And to put the capstone on it all, you will have assurance in the time of death. You can say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Aren't you glad he's with you tonight? Aren't you glad he promised that he'd always be with you? Never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Now, Paul loved to quote Jesus too. And I'm going to quote Paul, who quoted Jesus. Two great authorities. You could, listen, folks, you can take this to the bank. Paul said in Hebrews 13:5, quoting Jesus, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I'm glad we have that promise tonight. Because you know what? We need him every moment, every hour, every day. Number three, because we're building for eternity, we must keep our eyes on the goal. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me when I say it. We are not misguided vagrants strolling aimlessly along a sin-cursed planet. No, no, no. We are militant pilgrims traveling to a better world. And along with Abraham, we're looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When I was growing up, my dad's church over in the state of Virginia, we had a, are you listening? Barbershop quartet. Barber, you know, barber. Three Baba boys and one Baba girl at that time, and we sang, and we always sang the same song. And that's about the only one we knew, I think. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Can I add a postscript? If you can feel at home in this world, you got a real spiritual problem. Our goal is heaven, ladies and gentlemen, and nothing else will satisfy. No more onions and garlic of Egypt, but angel food cake smeared with peanut butter in heaven. Wow, I told you before, nobody goes to heaven who doesn't eat peanut butter. Did you boys get that? If you want proof, it's in the book of 1 Barbalonians, chapter 1 and verse 1. Unless thou dost eat peanut butter, thou shalt in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Nor pain nor death shall enter there. Its glittering towers, the sun outshine, that heavenly mansion shall be mine. Can I refer again to my dad's church growing up? I'm making up for last year. I didn't get to preach last year, so I'm taking a little bit extra time tonight. I was going to do it anyhow, but I'm glad you agree with it. But we had three dear old saints that my daddy would call on to sing. You know, we didn't have the schedule, you know, page, you know, so and so. And I don't have anything against that. Don't misunderstand me. But he just called somebody out. And for example, we had Pete Arnold. Pete lived to be 103 years old. My daddy would call on to sing. Only song he knew was, I'm going home to die no more. I'm going home to die no more. To die no more. I'm going home to die no more. Then there was Sister Holly. Sister Holly was as broad as she was tall. My daddy would call on Sister Holly. Sister Holly, stand up and sing. She'd get up and straighten things out. And then she'd sing. The only song she knew, I think, and it's just a chorus, my warfare will soon be ended, and I am going home. My warfare will soon be ended, and I'm going home. Then there was John Dixon. John Dixon stood about 5 feet tall. He was as slick on top as a peeled onion. We used to sit behind him in church and watch the flies try to land on his head. But you know what? When John Dixon stood up to sing, he was 10 feet tall. And he'd always sing the same song. I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. I praise the Lord I ever found this way. When this whole world's on fire, you may know I've gone up higher. For I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. My friend, I'm headed for heaven as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. As sure as Austin is the capital of the state of Texas. I am headed home. Your pastor gave me away a while ago. He leaned over and asked me these questions about how old I was and I had that in my message, but I'm going to give it to you again because most of you have forgotten it already. I'm 82 years old. I know I don't look that old, but if you got it, on it. I've been saved 71 years and I've never been sorry. I've done some things in my life that I've regretted, but I've never regretted trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm headed home tonight. I am headed with Pete Arnold home with Sister Holly. With John Dixon, I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. Soon I'm going to reach the top. After I get to be 112, I'll reach the top. But I'm glad tonight I have that blessed hope. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Did you hear me? I am bound for the promised land. Who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. And say, if you get there before I do, look for me. I'm coming too. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Heads are bowed, altars open, invitation has begun, Holy Spirit has spoken. I'm wondering if I'm speaking to anyone tonight who's never really trusted Christ as your Savior. You may have joined the church, you may have been baptized, you may have taken of the Lord's Supper, but you've never been born again. I wonder if you would not come and trust the Savior tonight. It'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. Or come and join the church, or surrender for baptism. Maybe some young man or woman, God's speaking to you about your life. He wants you to spend it perhaps on a mission field, far away from home. But remember, He promised never to leave you, to go with you all the way. Now then, listen very carefully, folks. I may be speaking to some parents, and I kind of feel like I am. You feel like you need to reinforce what's been said here tonight from this pulpit in rearing your children. You love them, you've been teaching them, all right, but you need to go a second step, another mile. Wouldn't you like to come tonight and just ask God to help you, give you wisdom and counsel and guidance in rearing your children in the right way? Listen, the devil's after them. And if the devil can steal the hearts and minds of the children of this generation, the next generation has no hope and no anchor. Parents, why don't you just get the children together and bring them to the altar tonight? How long has it been since you've done that? You've been saying, well, I want to get God's attention. Let me tell you something. The best place to get God's attention is right here at this altar of prayer. I hope you'll come and get His attention tonight in your life. As we pray, God bless the others that are coming. You may come. We're not closing. Come on now. Pastor's going to come. He's going to take the invitation and close the service. Mother, Daddy, young people, come on tonight. Father, we thank You for what You've done through Your Word, these dear people tonight, how they've listened. And I trust they have taken in and will be not only challenged and charged, but changed. Change us all where we need changing. In Jesus' name I pray.